We're in our final day of our, I guess, final week of our series we've been going through, God in the Movies, where we've been sort of looking at movies as parables. Sort of what Jesus did is that he tells stories to portray scriptural truth, or as Paul did when he went to Mars Hill, and he used their culture to explain some things truth. We've been doing that with some movies, and so this is our last week. And today, we're talking about the movie No Country for Old Men. I wasn't gonna do this movie. I didn't actually because I hadn't seen it. The only reason I watched it because so many people complained about the horrible ending. Like five people I knew, and so I had to watch it. I was intrigued with how can a movie have a horrible ending. But when I watched it, I realized what incredible parable I think this is. This movie for us. But before I get into the scripture and before I get into this movie, let me take you to a chapter in Matthew, chapter 16, verse 25. Jesus, like he always seems to do, though he's talking to his disciples, and he says something that sometimes it's a paradox. How do you understand this? So I'm sure his disciples were confused. What does he mean? What does he mean? And here's one of those statements. He says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So there's this prayer, for those who lose their life, you find it. But if you search and try to grasp onto life, you lose. What is this? And I imagine maybe if Jesus was alive today, Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean by this? He would have said, well, let me tell you a story. Have you seen the movie No Country for Old Men? Now, there are many ways that this truth of scripture, we can apply it and we can understand it. And today we're going to talk about one of those ways. The movie No Country for Old Men takes place in Texas. And really there's this, and the movie starts with this man named Llewellyn. He's traveling, he's shooting an antelope or something. Was it an antelope? In the desert, far in the desert. And as he's there, he comes across the scene with these cars and these dead people. And it was obviously a drug deal gone bad in the middle of the desert. And so he knows that there's money if there's a drug deal. And so he finds, this Llewellyn on the right, finds the money and he takes off and he runs. He's got the money now. Now, of course, the head... Whoever is in charge of this drug deal, or one of the sides, realizes this drug deal has gone bad, so he hires this guy named Anton Chigurh to come and to clean up this mess and to find the money. But as he's, we find out about this man is that he's just a ruthless killer. He has no heart. He lives by his own way of living, and he kills people, innocent people. People, it doesn't really matter, and he's pretty violent person. This is a little violent movie, which fits right into many of the parables of Jesus, because have you ever noticed how many Jesus' parables were violent? People died, and people were killed. And so we find he's a pretty ruthless guy. And the whole movie is he's chasing Llewellyn, trying to get back this money. And of course, he leaves a trail of blood. Now, behind the whole thing is this Sheriff Bell. And as he's following this trail of blood, he is overwhelmed with this evil in this world. He's like, who would just kill like this, right? He doesn't understand the evil of this world or why people are... He doesn't understand the wickedness of some... why people are so wicked. I mean, he doesn't understand it. And every scene he goes to, he doesn't know how to take what's going on. And it's just a little overwhelming for him. I think I have a slide here. Oh. So at the end of the movie, though, the reason why no one likes this movie is because at the end of the movie, Llewellyn, who has the money, he dies. He's killed. The bad guy, Anton Chigurh, he gets the money and he walks away. A few million dollars. And the sheriff, so overcome with all the wickedness in the world, he retires. He cannot take it anymore. The evil is too much. So the last scene is him retired, sitting at the table. Good guys, you know, the guy you want to live is dead. Bad guy's gotten away, and the sheriff has given up on the whole justice thing, and he's just retired. Now, at the very beginning of the movie, right, it spurs that anger. How can they ruin such a good movie for me? Now, here's the thing. At the very beginning of this movie, as it's showing scenes of the desert, we hear the narration of the sheriff in the background. I'm going to get to that. The sheriff in the background. And he's talking about how he doesn't understand the evils in this world. And at the end of the narration, he has this quote I want to read to you. I'll try to do it my Texas voice. The crime you see now, it's hard to even take its measure. It's not that I'm afraid of it. I always knew that you had to be willing to die to even do this job. But I don't want to push my chips forward and go out and meet something I don't even understand. Man would have to put his soul at hazard. He'd have to say, okay, I'll be a part of this world. I don't quite match Tommy Lee Jones. You see, the reason he retires is because the wickedness is so much. He's not afraid to die, but there's something deeper. He realized to be in this world or a part of it, you put your soul at hazard every time you rub up against the evil and the wickedness in this world. And so he cannot handle that, and so he retreats. He decides, I'm not going to be a part of this world. And the best way he can, he retires because he cannot take it anymore. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Verse 1, in this passage, Jesus is about to send out a whole bunch of people, 72 people, into the different areas. Now, two chapters before this, he sent out 12 people, 12 disciples, and he told them, go out, heal the people, heal the sick, and secure that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so they've come back, and actually a few chapters later, not that long later, Jesus gathers up more people and does the same thing. And this is how the passage goes. It says, at this time, after the Lord appointed 72 and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, a bag, or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are unwelcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. So Jesus takes these 72 people and he sends them out into these different towns. And as it's described, Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Now, I know I'm from LA, but I understand that sheep get eaten by wolves, right? That's why you have a shepherd, because wolves come and they devour a sheep and they pull it off, and a shepherd's there to protect that. I mean, I understand that, right? And Jesus is saying, I'm sending you guys out as sheep among wolves. It's a fierce world out there, right? And he's not sending them out in 72. You have powers and numbers, but no, I'm not sending you out in 72. I'm spitting you up two by two. You're going out and you're going to be like sheep. And you're going to heal the sick. Now, we know when Jesus healed the sick, a lot of what that means, it means encountering evil spirits, demonic forces. And so we know a lot of that these disciples are going out into a fierce world and they're encountering evils that are beyond them, that they've seen. It's a fierce, they're sheep among, it is, God, Jesus is saying, go into these places, and it's trouble, Right, if you go back to when Jesus sends the 12 out into different cities, just like this, but it's 12, in Matthew 10, he gives them warnings. He says, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils. They'll flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Right? Jesus makes it clear that they're entering a fierce world, a dangerous world. But he sends them. Right? To be honest with you, this movie, I think it illustrates some of the evils of this world that we encounter. Right? And the sheriff is so overwhelmed, he cannot take it. It's too fierce out there. He doesn't understand it. Now, I think you understand the world and sometimes the wickedness of it. I think you understand that. I mean, you turn on the news and you read, turn on the TV and you read and you see these news stories about things going on in this world. You look at the paper and you see the wickedness, right? But you don't have to go farther than your family. When you see struggles and betrayals within your own family and how fierce even your own family can be. Or you go to your work and you see how some people at work will step on you and use you to get ahead and do whatever. And you see how sometimes fierce even the workplace can be. Just living in this world, even financially, you realize what a struggle sometimes that is as well, right? And you realize sometimes the world we enter to when you see, I don't know if you just read in the paper, the first $1 billion house was built this year, while there are people dying on the streets of hunger and people are sleeping on the streets of cold, right? And we're building $1 billion houses, right? I mean, you see the wicked in the world and how it is unrelenting sometimes. But Jesus, and you know what, like, remember this passage? Our natural thing is like the sheriff. We're like, I want to play it safe. I don't want to risk, put my soul at hazard here. I don't want to risk my soul getting influenced with this evil. I don't want to touch it. And so a lot of us, we build our time protecting ourselves. We have our household, and we stay in our house, and we don't go to the places that are dangerous, right? We see someone on the street of a different ethnicity or a homeless person, and a lot of times, you walk across the other side of the road, right? You don't hang out with people that aren't like you. You hang around with people the same, sometimes ethnicity or the same culture, same upbringing, and you stay away from anyone that's different, right? In some senses, we want to retire and not be in this world at all. We don't want to rub up against the wickedness. And we spend our whole time accumulating money and wealth so we can be happy. And we don't need anybody else or anything, so we can just go on our vacations and do what we do without ever interacting with this fierce world, wicked world we live in. But Jesus says, what does he tell his disciples? He says, he calls us to go into the fierce world. To go into places that always aren't the safest, that are uncomfortable, that are different from us. He calls us to come across people that are different than us. Right? Because the truth is, these are the people that need Jesus. The ones that hate need to understand what it means to meet who love is. Right, those who are full of hostility need to find the God of peace. Right, those full of wickedness and sin need to find a God of justice, of righteousness, of holiness, of forgiveness. I mean, that's why he says to go into this world. I want to show you a scene from this movie. And the sheriff is sitting down and he's talking to another sheriff in town. And they just saw a horrific crime scene and they're talking about it. And the conversation leads, how in the world does the world get this bad? What is it that leads? And so here, quick scene.
told me 20 years ago. I'd see children walking the streets of our Texas towns with green hair, bones in their noses. I just flat out wouldn't have believed you.
Signs and wonders.
But I think once you quit hearing sir and ma'am, the rest is soon to follow. Well, it's the tide. It's the dismal tide. It is not the one thing.
Not the one thing.
All right, these guys are sitting there talking. How'd the world get so bad? And one of you guys like, I never believe that I see a kid walking around a green hair and a bone in their nose. And of course, talking about signs and wonders, right? We're familiar with that term here. When they stop saying, yes, sir, ma'am, the whole country is going downhill, right? It's just getting more wicked and wicked, right? I mean, the truth is, these guys, they don't understand what they're seeing. They don't understand why the world is getting, they haven't changed, but the world around them has changed drastically. And they don't understand it. Now, they're sheriffs. They don't have to understand it. They're just there sort of protect and serve. But when I watched this movie and I saw this scene, there's something, it was like deja vu. Like, I've heard this conversation before. And as I thought about it, I realized I've heard it here. I hear this conversation in church, right? Coming to our Wednesday night, I've heard this almost 100 times, right? A lot of us, we feel, you've grown up and you see the world change around you and you see green hair and all this stuff and you see the immorality in this world. And I've heard this conversation. And I look how the world's gone bad and I hear, look at this world, they don't have any more values. They don't value church. They're not dedicated. They'd rather go and do sports. And you hear all these things. I think that's an okay conversation for a sheriff to have, but in a church, I think that reveals something about us. I think it reveals how detached we are from these people that we're talking about. I think it reveals how isolated we become and how much we've set ourselves and separated ourselves from them, those people. Right? We're not in this world anymore. We have made a refuge ourselves. We take in God, he's our refuge, and he's going to protect us from this evil. My soul, I'm going to protect from. And I believe those conversations reveal we don't even know who these, we don't understand. How can you minister to people you don't understand? You can't relate to. And when you do talk to them, it comes out in our conversations. It's always an us and them. It's a me and you. And there's always in our words, we make it so clear that we're different. And they pick up on that and say, I don't belong here because I'm different. And they don't come back. Maybe our problem is that we've created church and made it a refuge from this world that desperately needs Jesus. And maybe when we start talking about how the world's gone, going bad and it's going in a waste, it's going to hell in a handbasket, whatever that term is, maybe we need to realize what we've become. Jesus tells us to go into the world, and what have we done? We've says, no, it's my soul's at risk. What does Jesus say? In order to, those who wish to save their lives are going to lose it. Right? We so desperately want to save it. We want to protect our souls that we isolate ourselves. And really what happens, I think we begin to lose our life that's within us. It's the people that go into the world and find blessing in it, that go into the difficult situations, the uncomfortable ones. I believe those are the people that find this life. They find something there. The passage continues. The 72 return back in Luke chapter 17. And this is what it says. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. These people come back and they have life. right? There's joy. They're excited. They're proud of what they've done. I mean, not a bad. They're excited about they're part of this kingdom and they're bringing the kingdom forward. They're blessing. They've healed people. They've made a difference in the place. And Jesus is like, Jesus even takes notice. He's like, man, look, I saw Satan fall. Like, you made an impact in the kingdom of God. You've made a difference in this world. You've made it a better place. And they are having life. Now, well, let me show you this. Let me show you one other. Here. When you bless people living in darkness, or when you enter the fierce world and you live out what Jesus tells us to live, I believe you find life. That's where our life comes from. Obedience to Jesus. Now, I want to show you one other video. This is the end of the movie. Sheriff Bell has retired. And he's sitting there and he's talking to his wife over coffee what to do. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to use my time? And she's got to work, so he really has nothing to do. And then it comes to this dream he had, a reoccurring dreams he's had. And this dream is sort of key to understand what's going on deep inside of him. It's a dream about him and his father. His father was a sheriff before him. And so, let me show you this.
It was both back in the older times when I was a horseback going through the mountains of the night, going through this pass in the mountains. It was cold and there was snow on the ground. He rode past me and kept on going, never said nothing going by, just rode on past. And he had his blanket wrapped around him, his head down. When he rode past, I seen he was carrying fire and a horn the way people used to do, and I could see the horn from the light inside of it, about the color of the moon. And in the dream I knew that he was going on ahead. He's fixing to make a fire somewhere out there and all that dark and all that cold. And I knew that whenever I got there he'd be there.
The movie ends at that. I don't know if you got that story. It's a dream about him and his father, who's a sheriff. And his father goes off into the dark, cold, and he's going out to start a fire, right, in the dark, cold. Right, in essence, he's going out to bring justice, to do what is right. And he says, I know my father's waiting for me when I get there. But the truth is, he's not going. He's playing it safe. He's retired. He's not going to meet up with his father. He's not going into the dark to bring light into the dark. No, he's staying back. And I don't know if you could catch it in his acting, but he can't live with himself. He's disturbed. Right? You imagine when Jesus sent out the 72 people. Imagine if only 71 went and one stayed back. And when the 72 came back to tell Jesus that one person was there who didn't go, and he heard about the excitement, this joy, how do you think that one would feel? He'd be ashamed. He wouldn't be proud of himself. He would act just sort of like this, like, man. You know, in trying to save your life, I have it here. Trying to save your life, as the sheriff, as he's trying to save his life and protect himself from being influenced by this evil in this world, he ends up losing his life. He has nothing anymore. He can't even live with himself, in a sense. Sometimes I think we keep busy to ignore the wilting of our heart. You know, Jesus, when he told his disciples to go, he's like, you go. Don't take a lot of things. Go light. And when you pass people on the road, don't greet them. Why? Not to be mean, But when you greet someone in Texas, this long, elegant thing where you greet someone on the road, he's like, no, you have a mission. Go into this dark, the fierce world and go and do my work. I think sometimes we keep busy to keep us distracted from that we're not doing his work, to keep us distracted that we're losing life. All right, if you saw the sheriff in the beginning of this last scene, he was always trying to find something to do to keep himself busy because he can't live with himself. All right, churches can be a busy place. It can be one of the busiest places there is. Always have programs, always have something to do, yet somehow we neglect the part of going into our community, to our world. And what happens as church folks, we like to be busy, and it's an easy way. It's an easy way to ignore what's going on in our life and in our heart. It's an easy way to ignore that our soul is already at hazard. When we try to play it safe, we just got to keep our mind off it some way. Now, if you also remember, these disciples, when they left, when they came back, remember what, we read this earlier, when they came back, it says they returned with joy. They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Right? There's this almost a surprise. Like, I can't believe what I did. Right? I had power. I spoke. And in your name, people were healed and demons were gone and lives were transformed. And there's a sense of, like, I can't believe this. I had this power. But they didn't realize it until they were out into the world. Right? I hear a lot of times, well, where's the power nowadays in my life? Where's the miracles that God's doing in our lives today? How come we don't see what's going on in the scriptures here and now? The answer is because we never left base. We never left the security of our lives and gone into uncomfortable situations of dark, of messy lives. We've never done it. So we've never given Jesus a chance to work through us in power. Right, I believe that when you bless people living in the darkness, when you enter, when you're obedient, and you go in, that you find not only just life, but you find power. There's something transforming about your life and the impact it has in other people. All right, what happens is we get so bottlenecked, we're so scared of losing our soul from the evils of this world that we never experience life and we never experience power. We never see Jesus transform the cultures around us, and we don't experience joy. And all we do are just busy and busy and busy to forget and to ignore our problems. What about you? What about you? Are you the sheriff here? Have you retired? Are you playing it safe? Are you hiding? Are you keeping away from anything wicked and evil in this world to protect yourself? To make sure you're not influenced? Is that where you're at in this world? Have you decided that you're going to make forever, this is going to be a refuge? This church is going to be a refuge? Because I'll tell you what, our church is made up of us. It's what we do is what this church does. It's what we decide as us people here. And if enough of us get this idea that we just want to play it safe and protect ourselves from something we don't understand out there, then that's all this church is going to be. A refuge where we die. Oftentimes we use the excuse, I want to save my soul. That's why I stay away. But the truth is, if you really wanted to save your soul and find life, you find a way to go out. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, for Jesus, will find it.